Good morning. We have special guests today, and they are students from Edgewood High School here in Madison. Would they please stand? Thank you very much for coming. You may be seated. The Edgewood High School students come very frequently, and they are part of our Court with Class program. They have the Supreme Court and State Bar sponsor. This is a national award-winning program, and we send invitations to high schools around the state asking if the students would like to come to an oral argument. And if the students accept the invitation, they are sent materials relating to the case, and they may engage in activities that relate to the case. And then after this second case, the students can meet with a justice of this court assigned for the day to meet with the students. Everyone is invited. You don't have to be a student to participate. The discussion will be about the procedures of the court in taking and deciding cases. It will not cover the substantive issues of the case that you are going to hear. But the lawyers and anyone else in the courtroom are cordially invited to attend and participate. We've met the students. Let me introduce the court to you. I'm Shirley Abrahamson, the Chief Justice. To my immediate right is Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, and Justice Bradley will meet with the students after this argument. She is the assigned justice today. To Justice Bradley's right is Justice David Prosser. On the far right is Justice Annette Ziegler. To my left, immediate left, is Justice Patrick Crooks. To his left is Justice Patience Robinsack. And on the far left, Justice Michael Gableman. And that's the lineup for today. And the case is, as you know, but before I do that, does anyone need a summary of the case we are about to hear? If you do, raise your hand and we will give that to you. All right. The case is 2012 AP320, Sharon R. Warenka versus Wadena Insurance Company. Arguing on behalf of State Farm Mutual Auto Insurance Company is Corrado Cirillo. Did I pronounce your right name correctly? Thank you. And then arguing on behalf of the plaintiff, Sharon Warenka, will be Susan Tindall. And Mr. Cirillo, you have 5 minutes in rebuttal. So you will have 25 minutes now. You may proceed, counsel.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Corrado Cirillo, and I represent the defendants, Scott Brewer, and State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. A brief summary of the facts. This is not facts intensive. This case involves a death of two individuals that were involved in a snowmobile get-together that occurred in Moonseen, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula. It was organized in Port Washington, Wisconsin, by Port Washington Yamaha, a vendor in Port Washington, Wisconsin. This is an event known as the Rubbish Run. It occurs annually. I don't know if it still occurs after what happened in this incident, to be quite
sure. Does it always occur in the same place?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. But it does occur in Michigan because, believe it or not, Michigan, Upper Peninsula, gets quite a bit more snow than we do down here, though you wouldn't know it from this year. It started out with 10 individuals going on a snowmobile run through the Hiawatha National Forest. The first four individuals were able to maneuver around what was a snowbank in a road, what is a forest road. The next six individuals, due to weather conditions, speed, and the snow that was kicked up of the various snowmobiles, did not see the snowbank. One after the other, they collided into the snowbank, went over it, and started crashing in chain reaction fashion. Unclear who hit who. What is clear is Mr. Waranka, Nicholas Waranka, died. Also, Paul Murphy from Kansas died. So two out of the six people involved in this snowmobile event died, or two from the accident. As a result of this accident, Nicholas Waranka's wife, Sharon, brought a wrongful death action here in Wisconsin in Ozaukee County Court, where Port Washington is located. One of the issues that she brought was what law applies to wrongful death that occurred in Michigan. And there's no dispute, the cause of the death and the occurrence is in Michigan.
I just ask you a question. This is the only wrongful death in Wisconsin, only wrongful death case in Wisconsin as a result of these many injuries?
That's correct, Your
and
Honor.
Other people are suing, you don't know and you don't care?
No one else is sued, including Paul Murphy's family. They did not sue.
Okay.
It's not before the court. It's difficult to establish what actually happened in this collision.
Okay. But this is the only case we have
this is the
in
only
Wisconsin.
Case. That's correct, Chief
That's
Justice.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yes. Sharon Waranka moved the court to apply Wisconsin's negligence law, 895045, the comparative negligence statute, based on conflicts of law analysis. And there's undoubtedly no question that just about everybody that's involved in this accident is from Wisconsin. The five named defendants individually are from Wisconsin. Three of the insurance companies, State Farm in this case, issued policies to people in Wisconsin. Every one of the 10 snowmobiles were garaged in Wisconsin. They were going to come back to Wisconsin. Sharon Waranka opened an estate to be probated in Ozaukee County Circuit Court here in Wisconsin. The question that remained was which wrongful death law applied. She asked that Michigan's...
So was there any challenge to applying Wisconsin's comparative negligence?
There was not. All the defendants, except for one, agreed that it should be applied.
Thank you.
The question
does
was...
Does Michigan have a comparative negligence?
They have a different type of negligence statute. It's where we have a modified, they have a non-modified, which means if someone was to be found 97% negligence... or Mr. Waranka was to be found 97% negligence, he could still collect the 3%, mm-hmm. which in Wisconsin we can't do that. We got the 51% rule.
Mm-hmm.
So Ms. Waranka moved that the Michigan wrongful death statute be applied in its entirety. The defendants opposed that, and we opposed it on the basis of conflicts of law analysis. It was opposed because everyone and everything with this case is in Wisconsin. Now, we understand that 89503...
But the death didn't occur in Wisconsin.
You're correct, Justice Ziegler. The death did not occur, nor was it caused in Wisconsin.
So how do we reconcile these statutes? What would you have us do with the language of the statute?
I didn't hear that last
What
question.
Would you have us do with the language of the statute?
And that's the crux of the issues that are presented
that's
before
right.
this court. It is. Quite frankly, it is. 89503 states, and it's plain language, that a cause of action brought in this state for wrongful death under 89503 has to be caused in the state of Wisconsin. However, there's a different statute that applies to the designation of beneficiaries, caps.
Your argument is those two don't go together. You can view those separately. Give me that support. What tells me that is what you do here? Because, frankly, I think they go together. So you've got a little bit of an uphill climb for me on this one.
I agree with you, Justice Ziegler. And that's something I want to acknowledge at the outset. One of the things that's been argued in the plaintiff's brief is that these statutes have historically been applied in pari materia, together, because they were enacted in 1857 during the same legislative session.
And they were all one statute at that time.
Right. They were all one statute, but somehow they became separated. And I'm not quite certain where the separation occurred or why the separation occurred. Our argument is that 89504 can be applied to give remedies, to designate beneficiaries, and to establish a cap on non-economic damages, damages for loss of society and companionship, in certain cases where it's overwhelming and clear that the only people interested in being compensated or being judged to be liable are Wisconsin residents. One of the purposes of wrongful death statutes, first of all, as we all know, they're creations by statute. They don't come to us from the common law. Okay? One of the purposes is, in fact, the main purpose, and that's within my brief, it's Reich Purcell, which is a California case. It's also in Miller, which is a Wisconsin Court of Appeals case. The entire purpose of wrongful death statutes is not to look as to who died or so much of where they even died, but it's to benefit the surviving relatives. In this case, it would be Sharon Varanka and her daughter, a daughter that survived Nicholas Varanka.
Now, how old is the daughter?
Excuse me?
How old is the daughter?
I believe she's 8 or 9 years old, Chief Justice.
So she's a minor, and you're saying she gets because they can have a set-aside.
That's correct. And that's according to 89504.
Cool.
The court decides up to 50% as to what she can get. They have no similar provision in the Michigan wrongful death law. In fact, the Michigan wrongful death law allows just about anybody named in a will to come and say, me too. I'm a beneficiary.
If these two statutes were still together and there was just a 89503 that had all of the words of 89504 in it, would you still be making the same argument?
No, I don't think I could. Not honestly.
Okay.
I'll be
well, then what do you do when you're bringing the wrongful death under the Michigan statute that has everything all together? You're asking us to not use part of that where you wouldn't ask us to not use part of the Wisconsin statute, so I'm a little bit lost on that transition.
It's in my brief, under conflicts of law analysis, when you have some case like this where there's quite a few contacts in one state and not so many in the other state, remedies are usually dictated by the forum's law. The forum is here. And what we're talking about here in 89504 are the remedies. I mean, quite frankly, whether or not Sharon Varanka benefits from being designated as one of the beneficiaries, whether or not she can get unlimited pecuniary damages under our law, what she's limited to is the $350,000 cap. And that's what really this is about. Mm-hmm. There's no hiding that fact when this comes down to is whether or not the limit applies. That's the question here.
Mr. Cirillo, is there any question about the fact that Wisconsin is the appropriate forum?
No, I think it is. I have no problem with the forum being here in Wisconsin. At the same time, I mean, there's an issue, and this is not in the record, Justice Crooks, as to who put this snowbank in place, and that person is a Michigan resident who put it there. Obviously, he never left Michigan, so we can't get jurisdiction on him under any circumstances. He may go on to the verdict form when this goes to trial, but if the plaintiffs wanted to sue this gentleman, they would have had to, I think, file in Michigan.
Well, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the way that Wisconsin gets to be the forum is under the doctrine of full faith and credit. And there's an old case, Hughes, from 1951, that would seem to indicate that. Is that still good law, do you think?
Hughes is the Supreme Court case that actually overruled a Wisconsin Supreme Court case where they didn't allow a wrongful death cause of action to come in Wisconsin from Illinois. And the Supreme Court of the United States said, well, wait a minute, you're taking this person's remedy away and you're violating one of the principles of federalism, and that's full faith and credit to other states' laws. So that was struck down. The Wisconsin Supreme Court decision was struck down in the Hughes case. And I think what the trial court did here was try to give full faith and credit to the Michigan's law. In fact, the trial court in this instance said, I believe you can bring a wrongful death cause of action under Michigan's law. But because we have so many people involved here, being Wisconsin, under conflicts of law, because there is a difference between 89504 in both designation of beneficiaries and caps, as opposed to what's in the Michigan, I think I have to apply 89504. And I think that's an enlightened approach, given, you know, when this law was passed in 1857 and how we've come now to when this accident happened back in 2010. And I say that because there's a federal case, and it's the Satchel-Volrath case where the death occurs, and this is a 1968 case, it's in my brief, the death occurs in Wisconsin. The person that dies is from Ohio. The estate brings the cause of action in Wisconsin, but wants Ohio wrongful death law applied. The federal court said, look, I think Wisconsin law applies in this case. But because there's a difference in the designation of beneficiaries and how this is distributed, I'm going to, what is known in French as depakage, which means dismember it, and that's used often in conflicts of law analysis, I'm going to take this little issue here and allow the Ohio designation of beneficiaries. So he didn't do what's being asked is like, if we apply Wisconsin law 89503, we got to do lock, stock, and barrel with 89504. He didn't do that. That court didn't do that in the Satchel-Volrath case. And I think that's a good approach because it does substantial justice to all the parties. And the court said, look, we understand you don't want the caps of Wisconsin, but Wisconsin has a strong public policy on caps on non-economic damages. And that's been true for years and years. In fact, one time caps went away and they came back because our legislature is really solid. They have no problem with unlimited pecuniaries. They have no problem with unlimited damage awards for pain and suffering. They have a problem with non-economic damages, it appears to me, from the way this law has been used for the last 50, 60 years.
When you answered Justice Rogenczak's question, you said that you really couldn't in good faith argue that these would be separated out if they were still part of one statute, right?
Correct.
In Michigan, it's all part of one statute. Why can that be separated out when you wouldn't do it to our own statute?
Thank you. That was the second question I asked that
great
I didn't get an
answer great minds think
alike,
to, right?
So thank you.
And maybe I didn't get the last part because of exchange.
I'm asking you, why do you want to separate out Michigan? It's all one statute. The damages are in there. Everything's in there. It's neat. It's tidy. It's together, kind of like Wisconsin's used to be before they gave it two different numbers. So why won't you do that in Wisconsin and you would do it in Michigan?
I think one of the things I brought up in answering Justice Rogenczak was the concept of the remedial nature of 89504. Okay, if 89504 and 89503 were together where the cause of action emanates only from that full statute altogether, I don't think I can make this argument. But the trial court, when it looked to the statute, it has different subsections. And he picked out, and this would be out of an issue-by-issue analysis under conflicts of law, to give a cause of action to the Varenkas based on Michigan law. Because I don't think she has a cause of action under 89503, and I don't think there's anyone here that's going to say otherwise.
No, you're focusing in the wrong place, Counselor, with all due respect. I appreciate that answer, and that was part of my question. I want you to focus on the Michigan statute, not the Wisconsin statute. You are asking us to take apart that statute rather than letting the whole statute be applied in Wisconsin. Why?
And this goes back to what I had stated earlier, is all the people here that are involved, the insurance companies, the individuals that have been sued, are from Wisconsin. The forum is Wisconsin.
Okay, well, to me that's still inconsistent with your response that if 89504 and 89503 were still one statute, you wouldn't make the argument you're making. Well, you're asking to use Michigan's wrongful death statute, which, you know, I don't have a problem with you doing that. My concern is, though you wouldn't take apart one statute if it were a Wisconsin statute, how is it that you can take apart one statute and you're applying the Michigan statute, but you're not applying all of it?
Okay. I think I understand where you're going, Justice
Rogenczak.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
The argument is being made on the public policy part of not applying Michigan law.
Okay.
To that extent.
Okay.
And what I'm talking about is the designation of the beneficiaries and the absence of any caps for non-economic damages. And I make that argument, and it seems, I'm not going to say it's circular, but it's based on what our policies here on why we have 89504. That's what I'm trying to get across, yes. And I may not be doing it as well as you would like.
Would we do the same thing if other people were suing under the Michigan statute that couldn't recover under the Wisconsin statute? Would you make the same argument?
If people from Michigan could not recover,
I thought you said in the Michigan statute, more people could bring a cause of action than in the Wisconsin statute. Assume those people were bringing a cause of action here. It's a viable cause of action under the Michigan statute, but under the Wisconsin statute, they couldn't recover. So would they just be cut out? How would that work under your analysis? Would it be consistent with what you're asking us to do today?
I think it would be consistent for a simple reason that one of the things that Wisconsin wants to do is have the beneficiaries.
So you would cut them out?
They would be cut out. And this could be a friend that's named in the will under Michigan law. If they're named in the will under Michigan's wrongful death law, they can make a claim, where in Wisconsin you can't. Wisconsin limits it to the surviving spouse and to the child.
So what you're really saying is this is a statute that trumps the cause of action.
89504?
Yeah.
In this application, yes, it does. For a simple reason, the cause of action, 89503, can only be applied, as I've indicated earlier, to deaths caused in the state of Wisconsin. Death was not caused in Wisconsin.
Okay. But then you're really rewriting both statutes, aren't you?
I don't think so. And the reason why I don't think so is one of the things that fuels wrongful death statutes is compensating the beneficiaries. And compensating the beneficiaries or the surviving relatives is done either application of Michigan law or Wisconsin law. Okay? The only difference is in Wisconsin, there's a strong public policy for limiting non-economic damages. And that's the heart of the matter here, Justice Eager. So, I mean, in that sense...
I understand your argument. Thank you.
If the lawsuit had been filed in Michigan, would you be making the argument that any part of Wisconsin law applied?
I don't know if I can make that argument, Your Honor.
Why not?
And the reason I think the reason why is because if it was filed in Michigan, I foresee the person that made the snowbank being in the lawsuit also, who is right now not in the lawsuit. And I don't know how in any situation where Wisconsin law would apply to him. He's never availed himself by coming over into Wisconsin. He didn't make the snowbank in Wisconsin. He made it in Michigan. And that's the crux of the matter. I got to be frank with that. So I don't think I can make that argument faithfully.
Well,
so no.
From your point of view, if you were kind of thinking of the plaintiff, is it your point of view that they picked the wrong forum?
Possibly. Not necessarily, because when you look at who everybody that's involved here, the majority of the people are from Wisconsin. So to that extent...
Well, doesn't it really make sense? You're saying that if the plaintiff had gone to Michigan, there'd be no limitations, really. Would it really make any sense for these plaintiffs to have gone to Michigan? I mean, you've said everybody's in Wisconsin. It's more convenient in Wisconsin.
It is more convenient in Wisconsin for them to file the action here because the majority of the people are here. The only person that's not here, as I indicated, is this person that made the snowbank, who's a Michigan resident, and as far as I know, never stepped in Wisconsin. So to that extent, I mean, that's a big issue when it comes down to the verdict form and being on the verdict form, but we're not there yet. So to that extent, that may make a difference in the future. Here, I don't think it can make a difference because I think filing here was fine because Mr. Varenka is here. It was organized here, and it's the same reason why I believe that 89504 should apply to this action.
Counsels, I understand your argument. You acknowledged and indeed here today voiced that this was the 03 and 04 were enacted as one in 1857. We have prior decisions that discuss when they're enacted at the same time, that is, by the same legislature and together, they should be interpreted in paramateria. So I understand, I look at the Delvaux case that perhaps can be distinguished, but nevertheless said
that they are not to be separated. 03 and 04 are to be one. So I hear you not so much arguing against that has indeed been the construction of our law thus far. That is the status of the legal interpretation thus far, but you want to change it because the times they are changing. Am I correct on that? And you're primarily resting on Wisconsin's strong public policy for limiting non-economic damages.
That's part of it. That's part of it, Justice Bradley. That is part of the argument.
I think I gave you a triple-barreled question. Let me break it down. First of all, do I understand correctly that you're not contesting what the status of the law is at this time? At this time, they are to be, based on our prior decisions, they have been and are to be read as one together.
They have been and are in pari materia. We acknowledge that in our brief.
Yes.
There's no arguing against that.
Okay, but you want, because of changing circumstances, that they should be separated now.
It's not necessarily even the change in circumstances, Justice Bradley. And just so you know, in 1857, when this law was enacted, it was cutting edge. It was going lex loci while everyone else was still using lex fori. So it was cutting edge.
Boy, that's exciting.
I think about that. Lex loci in the first restatement of conflicts of laws, I mean, Wisconsin left that in Wilcox. And that's a 1960s case, you know, 1966 case.
Didn't that original statute limit damages too?
It did. I believe it did.
$5,000 or less.
But Chief Justice Abramson, it was at one point it was passed without the damages, but it was brought back right away. So,
if you were to win here, counsel, what law on comparative negligence? You said there was a difference in the law. Which law would apply?
Right now, we've all requested that Wisconsin's comparative negligence law apply.
And all requested.
All requested it except for one person, one party, and that party has dropped that issue, and no one's really disputing that 895045 does apply to this. So, and 895084 actually references application of Wisconsin's comparative negligence law, and strangely, I believe Michigan's law talks about their comparative negligence law being applied to theirs. So it's a pretty good brew we got going here, to put it quite mildly.
What's your theory for using Wisconsin comparative negligence law?
The actually was the plaintiffs that moved to use Wisconsin comparative negligence law in the same brief that they filed to use Michigan law.
You're not objecting, so.
We did not object, and they based it on conflicts of law analysis, saying that because all the parties are from here, this law would be more equitable to the parties. Predictability of results, the ease of the court, the ease of the judicial task, no interfacial meddling with the other states' interests.
Was that a gift to you?
What's that? That was a big gift to you. That was a big gift. I mean, I think it was a gift to everyone that's involved in this somewhat complex case, including the trial judge, because we know how our comparative law applies. We also know how 895.04 applies. It does ease the judicial task to apply our law and to limit the beneficiaries. And that's not to say that the plaintiffs are asking for this huge category of beneficiaries. As far as I understand, right now it's just the estate, the daughter, and Sharon Varenka that are making a claim here.
I have a question about that. You want Wisconsin CAFS to apply?
Obviously, Chief Justice.
Which law will govern beneficiaries, Michigan or Wisconsin, in your opinion?
Wisconsin law, because Wisconsin is more interested in compensating its citizens, the people who reside here, and including to make sure that the daughter is protected under the scheme that exists under 895.04.
So your position is you're going to apply the conflict of law analysis. But the other position that's being brought forth is you never get to conflict of law analysis because The Wisconsin statute says it doesn't govern death outside the state. And if you read the two statutes together, you just can't sue here on Wisconsin law. So if you take that position, which you do not, you never get to conflict of law.
If we have to look at 89503 first.
Right. And that says the death is outside, gone.
Yes. I'm not going to pull any charlatan stuff with the court. I mean, yes, that's obvious. What we're saying here is a little different than that. We're saying because, and we haven't had a case where we have so many people, all related to Wisconsin, bringing a wrongful death claim that affects five different insurers, six different defendants, and then the estate and the plaintiff. And I see my time has run out. I know I have 5 minutes, so I hopefully answered your questions so far.
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. In response to an earlier question, we represent the estate, which under Michigan law represents all of the parties who are entitled to bring a claim for wrongful death here. So you'll notice that, for example, that the daughter is not a plaintiff in this case. The estate is the plaintiff. So we filed under the Michigan wrongful death statute.
But you could have filed here under the Wisconsin wrongful death because the personal representative can bring the action, even though there is another beneficiary.
That's what
sub 1 says. An action for wrongful, this is 89504. An action for wrongful death may be brought by the personal representative of the deceased person or by the person who's ultimately going to get it.
If there was a cause of action in Wisconsin,
right,
then yes, that's the case. But in this particular case, there is no cause of action in Wisconsin. And one of the things that wasn't really discussed during defendants or State Farm's argument was the notion that the statutes 89503 and 89504 are in pari materia. And that's a very important crux of this case as well, because this court has developed a long history of statutory construction law, which provides the framework for lower courts and litigants when addressing issues of statutory construction. And in cases where statutes are in pari materia, and I don't think there can be any legitimate claim that these statutes are not, they were enacted together, they deal with the same subject matter, and this court has held time and time again that they are in pari materia. This court has said repeatedly that when statutes are in pari materia, we have to construe them together. We have to harmonize them. We have to use them together because that's what the legislature wants us to do. And only when the statutes are in conflict is the court allowed to pick one over the other. Time and time again, parties have come to this court and asked you to separate 89503 and 89504. And time again, the court has said no. These statutes, in Delvaux, the court said 89503 must not be read in isolation from 89504. And in Cogger, the court said a wrongful death action is purely statutory and derived from 89503 and 04. It didn't separate them. It used them both together. And if you review the case law, time and again, these statutes are treated as one. If you were to consider State Farm's argument here, then you would have to consider how would you rewrite the rules of construing statutes in pari materia to say that statutes which are in pari materia have to be construed together, have to be harmonized, except sometimes when what? There's no rule that is able to be generated for not using the in pari materia construction here.
Well, I understand part of the argument is the defense acknowledging the in pari materia, but they would say that in certain situations where it is overwhelmingly clear that the persons to be benefited reside in Wisconsin or held liable or reside in Wisconsin and are Wisconsin residents. So that's the part of the exception, at least, that they would carve out from the law that they acknowledge has existed up until now.
But that flies directly in the face of 89503, which says that this our statute applies only to deaths caused in our state. So to say that we are going to apply 89504 to deaths caused outside of our state because everybody's from here is directly contradictory to the provisions of 89503. And that is exactly what the rules of in pari materia prohibit you from doing. So
is there anything the Court of Appeals got wrong?
I don't think so. To me, the Court of Appeals analysis was perfectly on point and reached the issues correctly. And my request would be that the Court affirm it as is. Again.
Are you applying Wisconsin comparative negligence law?
Yes. And remember in State Farm versus Gillette, and in the Erhammer case, this court has said that when you are looking at the issues in a case, conflict of law issues, different issues are assessed separately. The tort law, the damages law, et cetera, can be and should be assessed separately. And so on the assessment of comparative negligence, all the parties looked at it, and we moved to have the court declare that Wisconsin law applied because it, under our view of the conflict of law analysis, a strong argument could be made that that law could apply. But there's nothing in 895045 that says this statute only applies to negligence occurring in or caused in Wisconsin. 89503, however, has that limiting language. And for that reason, we brought in the same motion the argument that comparative negligence, we can apply Wisconsin law, but for the wrongful death action, we have to apply the Michigan law because Wisconsin's law simply doesn't apply.
Suppose the death had occurred in a state with lower wrongful death caps than Wisconsin. Would you say, oh, shucks, that's the way it is?
I think we would have to, because under 89503, our statute doesn't apply here. And plaintiffs have applied to this court again and again in the Cronin case, Delvaux case. There's a number of cases where the action for wrongful death has been foreclosed by 895.03. For example, I think it was the Bartholomew case was a medical malpractice case where the man died a long time after the malpractice had occurred, and the statute of limitations had run out on his claim. And after he died, his widow, I think that wasn't the Delvaux case, that may have been, it was a different case. But after he died, his widow attempted to bring a wrongful death action on account of the malpractice, saying, I now have this wrongful death action. And this court said no. His action was foreclosed by 895.03, and therefore 895.04 does not create a separate cause of action for you to now bring a lawsuit on behalf of your injuries and your damages. So when the plaintiffs have applied for 89504 to be applied separately, this court has consistently rejected that application and said that 89503 and 04 have to be read together. And in the Bartholomew case, the wife died from medical malpractice. And there, the defendants were arguing that 89504 created a separate, they were arguing 893.55 created a separate cause of action for medical malpractice wrongful death as an entirely distinct category of wrongful death. And this court's discussion in paragraphs 60 to 63 is really telling, because what State Farm is arguing here is that we can have some wrongful death that isn't governed by 895.03. And in the Bartholomew case, this court repeatedly said This court's case law has recognized the distinction between wrongful death and survival actions dating back at least to 1868. And nothing in the text of the medical malpractice statute or the statutory and legislative history signals that the phrase wrongful death means anything other than its usual meaning in the statutes, namely post-death claims referring to 89503 and 04. Bartholomew tells us that there's only one kind of wrongful death in Wisconsin. We know it's purely a creature of statute, and that statute says it only applies to deaths in Wisconsin. So no matter how we look at this, that the wrongful death statute of Wisconsin is just inapplicable here, and plaintiffs take the position that the Court of Appeals correctly analyzed the issues and came to that conclusion.
Ms. Tindall, let me, if I might, follow up with Justice Prosser's question. The conflict of laws approach, obviously, you've taken in regard to comparative negligence. Why shouldn't we say, hey, that makes a lot of sense? Let's take a conflict of laws approach in regard to this question, the question of caps and beneficiaries. Why shouldn't that be a sensible approach to take? Why allow it in one instance and not in the other?
Because the legislature has said no. The legislature said it.
You think they've said that clearly?
Excuse me?
You think they've said that clearly?
Yes, I think the 89503 is plain and unambiguous. It says that it applies only to deaths caused in this state, and therefore the court has consistently refused to apply portions of 89504 to actions separate from 89503, and you can't do that here either in our view. And even if you're considering, and our view is that the Court of Appeals got it correct, there is no conflict of law. Our statute says it doesn't apply. Michigan's statute says it does apply. Therefore, there's no conflict. Michigan law applies. But even if you were going to look at the conflict of laws analysis, you know, what about the first three factors generally aren't considered as telling. Predictability of results in the Heath case, they say, well, that's not as big of a factor in a tort case. Maintenance of interstate order. Well, here, Wisconsin's legislature has specifically said, we only want our statute to apply to deaths caused in our state. So they've indicated that it's fine with them if Michigan law applies to a death of a Wisconsin resident as long as it's caused in Michigan. Simplification of the judicial task, this court has said repeatedly that you know, we can handle it. We can apply the law of either state. So then we look at advancement of the forum's interests. And here, in 89503, our legislature has said, we don't care. If the death occurs in another state, our statute doesn't apply. So how can it advance Wisconsin's interests? And how can they be advanced over Michigan's interest, where our legislature has said our rule doesn't apply except for deaths occurring in our state?
What about your opposing counsel's argument that our legislature has spoken clearly in regard to the public policy in Wisconsin, and that public policy relates to caps on non-economic damages? And also relates to beneficiaries and setting aside money for minor children. Isn't that a pretty good argument?
Not under this circumstance, because our legislature has said that those rules apply where the death is caused in Wisconsin. And I think if you look back at Prunty versus Schwantes, a very similar argument was made. It's 40 Wisconsin 2nd 418. There was an auto accident where the plaintiff's daughter died. And the plaintiff made a very similar argument that times had changed and we should be able to bring a wrongful death action and seek these damages that they wanted to seek in that particular case. I believe it was loss of society and companionship for a child. And this court rejected the invitation to rewrite portions of the statute that the plaintiff, I believe, argued was no longer valid, saying, the legislature created the remedy and has kept a watchful eye on its provisions. By way of example, Section 89504 Stats was recently amended to raise the damages for pecuniary injury to $35,000. At the same time, other changes were made. Since the remedy is completely statutory, and since our legislature has consistently updated the remedy in this state, there is no basis for this court to act. And I think the same analysis has to apply here. The legislature has kept the wrongful death statute updated. They've continued to revise it from time to time. And the legislature has spoken as to the scope of the statute.
Counsel, I'm bothered, too, by the fact that you treat comparative negligence differently. It's sort of messy, to my mind. But when I was glad when Justice Crooks and Prosser raised this, but I thought your answer was going to be different. I thought your answer was going to be that in 895.045, which is the contributory negligence statute, it is not solely a wrongful death statute. It covers all. I have to be careful. It may not cover all, but at least it covers wrongful harm, injury to a person or property. And that's to be distinguished from your 895.04 and your 895.03, which are solely wrongful death. And 895, Chapter 895, is not only a wrongful death statute, chapter.
That's correct.
And so I thought you were going to make the argument that, okay, everything dealing with wrongful death, and it's all related to wrongful death, we're going to take together. But that this one is a broader statute, and therefore you apply a conflict of law.
Right, and there's nothing, as I thought I had said, there's nothing in 895.045, which is a much broader statute and has broader applicability, and there's nothing that says that it applies only to injury caused in Wisconsin.
That's
whereas
right.
as 895.03 says that it applies only, wrongful death actions apply only to deaths caused in Wisconsin.
So that's where you broaden it out.
Yes.
Not only personal injury and property damage, but it's the same argument. It's not directly tied to the other two statutes.
Exactly. And our common law rules of negligence, for example, are often applied in situations where there's an auto accident in one state and perhaps the forum is here or elsewhere. We don't have anything in the common law that says, and our common law applies only here to injuries here in Wisconsin. And that's the big distinction and why we would see the distinction and bring these two requests in the same motion.
Did you check the legislative history to see why these two statutes that started out the same got split?
I did look at the legislative history.
I should have said statutory history.
Sorry.
Okay.
Statutory history. And I did not see an explanation for why the statutes were split apart. It appeared that it occurred roughly 1949, because prior to 1949, 895.04, or the predecessor statute, started with such action as opposed to an action for wrongful death. And then once they started moving things in between, they changed that language to say an action for wrongful death in Wisconsin. But some of the intervening provisions are related somewhat to wrongful death, and others are simply not. But Chapter 895 is not a unified statute. You know, for example, Chapter 767 is all family law, and 102 is workers' comp, and 895 doesn't have a one particular limitation.
It's entitled Damages, Liability, and Miscellaneous.
But it doesn't... It refers to the same things, but it doesn't. It's a broad statute that applies to different types of actions.
My notes show that when the 1895 revised statutes were recodified, it was made. The 1857 statute was made into two sections, 4255 and 4256.
I answered that incorrectly, right? I was thinking that the that they were physically, like, one after another in the statutes until roughly 1949,
right.
But they were separated earlier. You're correct, and I misanswered there.
Could I ask, the Wisconsin statute, 895.04, refers to domestic partners. Suppose we had a situation where one of the people in Michigan, a person in Michigan who's deceased, had a domestic partner and died intestate. And that person came to
Habish and Rotier.
What would you be doing then?
Well, I would certainly have to look at the Michigan statute with regard to whether domestic partners are entitled to recover. But, again, under 895.03, that person does not have a Wisconsin cause of action, no matter what. And I would not argue that the law would be changed or should be changed for that, because since its inception, 895.03 has applied to deaths caused in the state. And there have been any number of cases where there's been an argument for application of 895.04 separately, or for application, for example, in the Schnabel case, there was a death in Indiana, and there was an argument for application of our statute there because the death was caused here. And so our legislature certainly has an awareness of the geographic limitation of the statute. And there's plenty of other statutes, like the Michigan statute, that does not have a similar geographic limitation. So a Michigan resident coming to Wisconsin and being in a snowmobile action would still be subject to Michigan's wrongful death law, and also subject to Wisconsin's. But the reverse is not true, because our legislature chose to put this geographic limitation on it. So under the way we analyze issues such as this, our legislature has set the public policy, and the court is not supposed to trump that public policy by rewriting the statute, particularly where, as here, the statute has been on the books a number of years and the court has construed it, and the legislature did not change the statute or amend the statute in response to a judicial decision. If there's no further questions, I will be seated. But our position is that the Court of Appeals decision correctly analyzed the law, and we request that the court analyze it the same way. Thank you.
No further questions. None?
I'm sorry.
Your timing is perfect. The red light just went off. Mr. Cirillo?
I mean, one of the questions that was asked, and there seems to be an undertone, is how is it that 895.045 is applying to this case when Michigan law applies as far as the wrongful death, or should apply as wrongful death, as was decided by the Court of Appeals in this case? And, you know, I have to circle back to that, because everyone here has an expectation as to what law applies to them as Wisconsin citizens, and that's in my brief. You get an expectation that if you have a case in Wisconsin, and these are the parties, the lay people that I'm talking about, and also sometimes the insurance companies, well, they're far more sophisticated, as we well know. There's an expectation when you issue policies to citizens in Wisconsin, they have a mandatory endorsements specifically for Wisconsin. So there's an expectation by the parties that the law that's going to apply when that policy is enacted or comes into play is Wisconsin law.
And also, you're dealing with an automobile. You have no idea where that automobile is going to be, although they tell you it's housed here. But it can be on the road 6 months, 8 months, and therefore you would be subject under ordinary conditions of the law where the accident occurred, right?
You're correct. You're correct, Chief Justice.
And therefore, that might limit damages. It may be strict liability. It may be any number of things, and you're going to have to defend it.
That's correct. I mean, no doubt about it.
And your policy is going to have to the extent you can calculate all of that in fixing premiums, that is your calculation.
Sure it is.
And, you know, I appreciate your argument about the plaintiff, but limits, caps, are not for plaintiffs. Caps are to defend, are to help the defendant.
Well, in the Reich Purcell case that was decided in California, that's in my brief, actually the California court said that caps are actually not for conduct at all or for the defendants. They're actually for the beneficiaries in wrongful death causes of action.
You think the court was right?
What?
You think that California court was
interestingly
right?
Interestingly enough, when they made that decision, Justice Bradley, what they were saying is, and that's why the caps don't apply in this case. So that's the
that's
tail wagging back. So most definitely, I get where you're coming from on that one. So
aren't you arguing that these two statutes should be read together, and that the policy in Wisconsin is, unless an accident happens in this state, you can't recover?
Because I don't think that's I don't think that's a good argument. Justice Ziegler, I'll be frank. The reason why the argument has been made that 89504 applies in this case is it's a remedial statute. It talks about wrongful death. It doesn't talk about wrongful death only from 89503. And again, we acknowledge it's in pari materia, these two statutes.
Where else is there a cause of action for wrongful death other than in 89503? Again, I'm back where I started.
We would be working a legal fiction to believe that no other state has a wrongful death cause of action if we go down that road. We can't go down that road. We know Michigan does. We know Illinois does. We know Minnesota does because we have cases reported on various.
Almost every state has.
Every state does.
And they date back to the 19th century because the old common law was if the guy died, you can't recover. So it was cheaper to kill him than to injure him if you were a defendant, right? In fact, when I went to law school in Indiana, that was the big thing. If you hurt somebody, go back and run them over again so that you got limited damages, if any, because of the wrongful death statutes being written so narrowly. And the repulsion of the fact that if you kill them, you're not liable, but if you injure them, you are. That's what brought in the Lord Campbell Act. That's what brought in the remedies in England, and that's what brought in the remedies almost across this country.
And that's the whole basis of our tort law, too. And wrongful death, though it's not a common tort law, it's the idea of deterring conduct that causes death. I mean, economically, looking at it, maybe back then it was better to, as you noted.
I say that facetiously.
I know
that's wrong.
I was going to say facetiously. That certainly doesn't come from the law, from the school of law and economics analysis. but although I argument could be made to that effect.
Don't forget the homicide statute.
That has another.
Excuse me?
That running back over the person again.
Homicide.
Don't forget the homicide
statute. That's true too, Justice Crooks. That's true too. So, the common law, though, was in the end, it's a form of tort. I mean, the wrongful death statute is a form of tort law, and it's to deter, it's not only to deter the conduct, but more primarily than anything else, is to compensate the surviving relatives. And in this instance, I believe the surviving relatives are adequately compensated under Wisconsin's 89504 remedial statute. So, I see that my time is up. If there's any further questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cyril. On behalf of the court, I want to thank Mr. Cyril and Mr. Tyndall for the interesting arguments on wrongful death statute. We had another wrongful death statute being, the same statutes being interpreted, but a very different fact situation, and just within the last 2 months. And so the court is familiar with these statutes. And both your briefs and oral argument have been very helpful. This ends 12AP320, Sharon Warenka versus Wadena Insurance Company. The students should remain in the courtroom, and Justice Bradley will be out momentarily to discuss the procedures of the court, and I again invite counsel and anyone else to join them if they wish. The court, therefore, is in recess and will reconvene at 1:30 when we will hear our final case for today. We are in recess.